2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted. Let me tell you that again. The Apostle Paul said, lest I, not you, not someone else, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Before I pray, I heard an old writer say, if you go to Psalm 38, David said to the Lord, he said to the Lord, thine arrows stick fast in me. It may have been Charles Spurgeon, but an old writer said, Lord, chastise me if you must. But Lord, use the rod and not the sword. It's one thing to be tormented by the brethren. It's one thing to be tormented by this world. It's one thing even for the free reign of the devil. But when God inflicts the thorn, that's another thing. And I want to preach tonight, however, on this thought, or teach a little tonight on this thought. Do you really want the thorn removed? Thrice I went to God, Paul said, remove the thorn. And I wonder, do we really want the thorn removed? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I pray tonight you'll bless this simple thought. And help the people of God tonight, Lord, including myself, that we might give you the glory for all things. Help us, Lord, remember that though we are in the flesh, we are given to a selfish pride, for it's instilled in us because of the sin of Adam. And Lord, I pray tonight you'll help us in the message, and I will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. You can be seated. Would you look at me with a few passages? The Apostle Paul is leading up to this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to take about 15, 20 minutes and give a little dissertation. And then I'll take another 15 minutes and give you the outline. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul begins to say, because you remember, he's being accused of not being a true apostle. He's being attacked by the church of Corinth about taking God's people's money. And Paul would have to even say to the church at Philippi, no church, in the beginning of the gospel, no church communicated with me, but ye only in this matter of giving and receiving. And Paul had to constantly exhort the churches, not that I desire a gift from you, but that fruit may abound to your account. Now, when you distribute funds from your missions or your general fund to a man of God or to a missionary, there must be a recognition that you put your endorsement on that individual. Paul was trying to exhort the church, for they were accusing him of not having the right credentials. They're accusing him of not being real in his preaching. And so Paul had come to a place, because the people of God, surely you would not give to a charismatic. Surely you would not give to a Mormon. Surely you would not give to someone that preaches a false doctrine of the gospel of Christ. But if you're going to give and invest in a mission or invest in an individual, you want fruit to abound to your account as you believe it to be so. So Paul is constantly dealing with that. He had to deal with the giving matter of the book of Corinth. Now he'd come to the place, because he realized that this constant hammering towards him was affecting the work of God. That's why it's very, very dangerous when we attack a preacher. Even when the preacher may be in some sort of sin or false doctrine, it's best to just pray for them and let God handle the matter. For it's only damaging to the whole cause. Paul now comes to a place where he did not want to go. He did not want to have to stand and defend himself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. Matter of fact, he thought it foolish to have to do what he was doing. If otherwise yet as a fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. Now listen to what he said. That which I speak it not after the Lord. He said, I don't even like going here. But as if it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Now verse 18 said, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. The apostle Paul said, Brother Mike, this is foolish, but you forced me to come down to your level. So if you're going to glory and brag, several years ago, and I guess it happens in leadership. I've been the leader of the international ministry for the past 21 years. Several years ago, one of my men came to me and he said, Brother Ricky, I'm a busy man. I actually like to know just exactly what do you do all your days. I had 9 men at that time, now well over 65 or 70 working overseas. I said, gentlemen, come in here. I want every man to produce his yearly schedule. I'll send you mine first. After sending my yearly schedule, not one man sent his schedule, and not one ever questioned me again. And the Apostle Paul had come to that place. I don't like to go there. But the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to glory a little, then I'll come down to what you understand. That's what he's telling them. And I'll glory, though I count it foolish, also in verse 18. He then begins to give his dissertation in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison, more frequent in death, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I shoved a shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in the city, in perils of the wilderness. I can't go anywhere. Anywhere. Verse 30, Paul said, if I must needs glory, you're going to force me to this, then I glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Now, you and I know that all glory should go to the Savior. No one has ever suffered like He suffered. No one ever taken upon Him. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said He was in an agony. Only time the words there in the Bible, Brother Mike, and it is a Greek word, agonoi. And it literally means to be distorted and twisted and literally put through a treadmill to be as much. And one nurse told me that particular word used in the Greek is the word to understand that a person's body has gone into so much physical agony and stress and torment. It's impossible for the human mind not to go comatose. Your brain cannot take that kind of pain. Yet he in prayer, that's why he bled drops of blood. And he took that agony because he's about to take your sin and my sin. And Paul said, if you got to bring yourself to a place of glory, then let's glory in how bad you've had it. Let's stack the decks here. Now that's the setting. He then moves to chapter 12 and he says in verse 1, it is not expedient, it's not helpful for me doubtless to glory. He said, I really don't think it's doing much good. But I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. I believe that Paul was the one. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. I don't know. But whatever it was so good, he had no idea was it real or not. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Otherwise, I can't even talk about it. These people that say they've gone into these visions and saw heaven, I got a problem with it, because Paul said if you ever see it, it's absolutely impossible for the human mind to describe it. If you did have a heavenly vision, all you could say was, wow. I can't explain it. All I can say is, wow. Paul had come to that place. I'm getting ready to preach. Stay with me. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He says it again. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be as a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me. Now watch this, that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. This would get Paul to say in other passages of Scripture. I'm amazed at this great preacher who suffered all this, but Paul would say of himself, I am carnal. Next time you think you've arrived and you see all that the Apostle Paul has gone through, and you think you've achieved self-righteousness, the Apostle Paul, and I believe one of the greatest men outside of Jesus to tread this earth, would stand and say, though he gave his entire self to God, I am carnal. He would then say that I am the chief of sinners. Not was, but am. Anyone that ever comes to the place that God is going to use them will have to say, I'm wretched and undone. Now he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Let me give you this thought tonight. I began to read that as I went through this past year asking God to please heal my daddy. Lord, heal my hip. Lord, heal my body and all these stresses that have been going on. I have a blood disease that has come back again that I'm having trouble, and I got to be back at the doctor as soon as I get back home. Don't know where we're going to go with it either. I began to pray, God, I can't keep pushing the schedule I push. Going to have your help here. Please remove this thorn in the flesh. And I began to read this chapter, and I began to realize that the subject matter of this chapter is to verify how God is using us without bringing glory to yourself. Begin to say how God is using your life, but not bring glory to yourself. Paul states, due to what the Lord is doing with our lives, He has placed a thorn in the flesh. That'll keep us from being lifted above measure and allow us to give God the glory for every step that we take, for every trial that we face, for every situation that we're in. He gets the glory. It might seem grim, like God doesn't care, but He gets the glory. It might seem that we have a heart desire to do great things, that we can't push ourselves to do any longer, but God gets the glory for all that's in our lives. You see, thorns came into existence because of sin. I believe in the Garden of Eden were no thorns. Adam walked in and everything was there and thorn. There were no thorns to zap the minerals and the water and the energy and the life out of the soil. But because of sin, the Bible said that you'll toil by the sweat of your face and man will wrestle with thorns and thistles. Thorns came about because of sin. And Paul had to be reminded, as long as you draw breath, doesn't matter how glory you reach, doesn't matter how you've attained to some great spiritual life, you're still in the flesh of Adam, and sin still reigns in your mind, and you're still capable of falling into sin. You're still capable of coming short of His glory. Because thorns came because of sin. God told Adam, I'm going to put thorns to remind man there's still sin in his body and in this world. It was thorns. If our sin was not enough, If beating him was not enough, if nailing him to a rugged cross was not enough, if causing a piercing his side with a spear was not enough, they took the crown of an old sinner. They took the crown of wretchedness. They took the crown of condemnation and made a crown and placed it on our Savior's head. So to finally say, He is the King of all glory. And He wore our thorns on His head. And the third time the significance of thorns is mentioned in the Bible, because of man's sin, they became the crown of our Savior. And then lastly, because of self-righteousness, they become a thorn in the flesh. And I began to think, how wretched is this thorn and how devastating. Could you imagine going through the perils and the trials and the beatings and the heartache and the hatred of your brethren and the questioning of your life that the Apostle Paul did? Paul said, if I'm going to glory in anything, I think I'll just glory in those infirmities. I think I'll just give Him praise. Easy to praise Him for good things. Easy to praise Him for good health. Easy to give Him the glory when the finances are good. Easy to give Him the glory then. Paul said, I believe I'll just give Him the glory when things are difficult. Let me give you two or three things. I'm done tonight, I promise you. I want to talk about the thorns for a moment. The Bible said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Let's talk first of all about the pressures of the thorn. You see, Paul said it buffets me. That was a Greek word that was used literally means it beats me black and blue. I'm not talking about a little pat on the head. I'm not talking about a little spanking. I'm not talking about a little time out. I'm talking about God the Father pulling out the rod and beating you black and blue. And because God is so full of attributes, He has judgment that reigns on Him. He has mercy that overcomes Him. Love and joy and peace and grace and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. He Himself cannot draw back the rod. So therefore He allows the devil to draw back the rod and buffet us. Paul said, God didn't just say, now look, just tap him on top of the head, telling you're a bad boy, Paul. No, he said, God has given me a thorn for Satan to buffet me with. Now this is all the devil can do. The devil, Brother Mike, cannot get to me. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the King. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. So God would allow a thorn, and all the devil can do is come by your thorn and push it in a little deeper. He can't do it, but he can torment you. And you know what our biggest thorn is? This old flesh. And it's pressure that's there. It beats us black and blue. You see, there's pressure. And the reason God does that is because pressure causes me to pray. Isn't it terrible that because of this old flesh, we'll just get up and start our day like God's not even on His throne. We'll not spend any time with Him. And sometimes, you know what I found out about the children? When everything's going good, Judy will send emails, she'll get on Facebook, she'll send smoke signals, she'll threaten to send the CIA. They won't call. But let something go wrong, and they're hunting mama. They'll call me. They'll call my mama. They'll call our preacher. They'll call them. They'll be whatever. Where's mama? They want mama. And you know what God will do? It's when the pressure's on us, we're the closest to Him. And you see, the thorn has pressure, and pressure causes us to pray. And pressure causes us to praise Him in our sickness. When I come back from Cambodia, for 6 solid weeks I moaned and cried. I could not go to the bathroom. I could not walk two steps without grabbing something and gritting my teeth and saying, oh God, please. I can't take this pain. It's above all pain that I've ever had. And it agonized. Well, all last week, I struggled. I could barely move. But I would tell him, hallelujah, I can still walk and I can make it to the bathroom and I can still stand and preach. No, it doesn't feel all that good. But glory be to God. I remember where I used to be and where He's brought me from. Hallelujah tonight. Sometimes I love Him for the pressure because every time it comes down, I'm reminded He's still there. Every time it's a little more agonizing, I know He's right alongside me. Hey, can I tell you today, thank God for the pressure the thorn brings on. Boy, I got to hurry. I got about 9 other things. Boy, it's a pressure that causes pleasure. He said in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Wow. Just reminds us how wonderful His mercy is. Secondly, this, there is the purpose for the thorn. And to say, Paul said, lest I be lifted above measure. It has the purpose of keeping us humble. Do you realize humility is a prerequisite to revival? It's not a new president that's going to change this country. It's not a changed economy that's going to bring us out. It's not everybody gathering around and everybody praying, for there's a whole lot of praying going on. But my Bible said, if my people will humble themselves, then seek my face. A whole lot of praying, a lot of bowing, a lot of falling, but I wonder how many found true humility. It's a prerequisite to revival. It's a prerequisite to being a true servant of God. For he that counted it not robbery to be equal to God, humbled himself and became a servant and made himself of no reputation. And he got up and girded himself with a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. Prerequisite to service. You see, there's evidences of true humility. Oh, so many people think meekness is humility. It's really not. Kindness, and these are good things, are not really humility. But true humility, listen to this, true humility has a forgiving spirit. A forgiving spirit. It's difficult to have humility and have unforgiveness towards someone that has wronged you. For we have a forgiving spirit because humility came because we realize how wretched and undone and undeserving we are. And He humbled Himself that hell would not have to be my destiny. He showed mercy. The evidence of humility has a forbearance. I'm just going to give you these. A forbearance towards sinners. A forsaking self. It resists judging and condemnation and vengeance. You see, humility keeps us usable before God. Humility will keep our hearts from discouragement and distress and from death or separation from God. It'll keep us focused on heaven and centered towards Him. There's a pressure the thorns believe. Do we really want the thorns removed? It has a purpose. I want us to look at number 3 at its personality in verse number 10. This thorn has personalities. He says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses in Christ for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I put down the personalities of the thorn. You see, the infirmities, health might be your thorn. It might be your health. Some of the most used people of God have been those with the worst health. Many because they could do nothing about that, but used of God. Maybe heartbreak. The word reproaches. This word reproach comes from a Greek word that literally means an overbearing insult or injury. It means a mental injury. It means when someone attacks you and they just go after you and they do what they can do to disgrace you and to belittle you and to tear you down among others. It's reproaches. Might be that your thorn is a heartbreak. Many preachers carry this thorn, for they give their lives and they give their heart to preach and to love and have compassion only for those that they've reached out to turn on them and couldn't very possibly become their greatest enemy. Breaks their heart. Many a mother and dad that have given their all to their children only to watch their children turn from them and turn on them. It's heartbreak. Might be the thorn that you wear. There is the thorn of helplessness. It said, Paul said, I take pleasure in necessities. This word means the law of duty. It literally is an unrelentless burden for others. If you ever got to the place you really, really want to help, you're trying to help, but you just can't fix it. You're overwhelmed with grief for someone else, but you just can't fix it. 1984, December. I was sitting in our church. I was a youth pastor then, and my mom and dad were sitting behind me. Someone walked in the church, got my mom, walked her out towards the back, and I heard a scream back in the vestibule. The pastor stopped and said, Brother Ricky, Mr. Dunsford, had to go back. Dad and I went back and Mom is weeping and crying and my brother, who was a missionary on his way to a missions conference, is in a car wreck and broke his neck and he would die a few days later. My mother in such great heartache and such agony, and there was nothing. You try to read scripture, but there was nothing you could do to fix it. You felt so helpless. Paul said, in necessities I give pleasure. And Paul was a man given to the agony of just wanting to help others. He said, in persecutions, maybe hardship, is our thorn. Do we really want it removed? This is persecution that never leaves you. Well, I'll just move from Bowden and it'll go away, but it won't go away. You see, those men or ladies that have fallen into the sin of child attacks, and I'll leave it because of the mixed crowd, and or attacking a child. Everywhere they go must report. Everywhere they go must put up a sign. They can never leave that sin. Ever. And you see, sometimes there's hardships. Sometimes our sin and our agonies follow us. There's nowhere to hide. For everywhere you go, it rises. This persecution rises up on us. And then he said, in distresses. This word distress means, it comes from a Greek word that means a very small room. If I could say it like this, have you ever felt like the walls are closing in on you? It seems like no matter what happens, everything keeps closing in. It's just constant. One burden, you're not even out of one burden and another comes. You're not even out of something else and something else comes. It seems like all the world is closing in on you, Paul said in that type. Paul said, I've had perils everywhere I go. And it seems like it's a constant burden. Paul said, I take pleasure in these hardships. How many want to admit with me, we're not near like the Apostle Paul? If I don't eat twice a day minimum, I'm suffering for Jesus. And griping, not taking pleasure. But he said, I take pleasure in these things. Lastly, the place of the thorn. And because of time, I want to close out. But it says it will grow. I thought it will grow in a fruitless ground. It seems like nothing's happening. You're just complacent. No one cares. And you say, God, can I just move on and go somewhere where there's a little bit more? There's something else to offer my family and I, but God says no. No, I know it seems to be fruitless in your life right now, but just stay put. That's where you belong. Folks ask me all the time. I was recently asked again by two or three people, why don't you stay around here? There's places, boy, we'd love to have you as our preacher. Why don't you stay right here? And it does get weary on the road and hundreds of days gone every year. Now with the little granddaughter, it's getting even tougher to go. But can I tell you that sometimes it does seem like I'm just not going anywhere. But God said, just keep pressing on. It's the place I need you to be. It's where I chose you to be. And in my might be a thorn, but praise be to God, I take pleasure in the place. See, thorns will grow in a fruitless ground. Thorns will grow not only where it's fruitless, but they'll grow on a flower. You ever been where it seems like everything's great? I mean, think about it. I mean, I got a wonderful wife, a wonderful kids. I mean, they're healthy, they're working, they don't borrow any money from me. I mean, this is a wonderful life. I got a good ministry, I got good friends, I got a good pastor, I got a good church. I mean, things, really, I have nothing to complain about, but it just seems like everything that I have, I ought to rejoice, but the devil just sticks a thorn in me, and there's flowers all around me, but all I want to do is see the thorn. Most of the time, our whole life is in torment and disgust and discouragement over a handful, and there's thousands that love you. But that thorn right in the midst of the flowers will torment you. It'll grow where there's fragrance. I mean, you'll get up here and sing and it's sweet. And you'll go to work and things are wonderful. And it's just a wonderful fragrance. But it seems like we're embedded in thorns. Can I tell you tonight, it seems like that's awful grim, doesn't it? But here's what those thorns assured the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I want to talk to you a little bit about visions and revelations of the Lord. Didn't say from the Lord, said of the Lord. You see, Brother Mike, there's just something wonderful about those thorns. And because of that thorn, I can open this Bible. Boy, this morning, me and Judy have been really struggling. And Dad, I preached his funeral a couple of weeks ago. And we got that little old church, about 20-something people. And they're just getting started. And fella got up and sang. And boy, all of a sudden, the blessed Holy Ghost of God just give me and Judy a sweet little breath. And boy, it's wonderful there for a little while. And can I tell you, it's not a vision like Oral Roberts. I didn't see it 900-foot Jesus, but it sure is wonderful to see Him. It sure is to know His presence and know when He comes by that way. It's wonderful, the revelations of God, when I take this old Bible and all of a sudden I said, I've never seen that, Lord. That is wonderful. And it's perfect timing in the midst. But can I tell you, if it wasn't for the thorns, I probably wouldn't seek it so much. See, it could be if He takes the thorns away, that wonderful vision and revelation or that presence of God, that sweetness from His Word must leave if the thorn leaves. Verse 9 said, the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. You see, if He removes the thorn, then in our lives the grace is not so sufficient. It's not enough. Take away the thorn, and our job will be enough. And our activities will be enough. And our family will be enough. And the things of this world will be enough. But put something in your life you can't fix. The doctor can't fix. The boss man can't fix. The next president can't fix. The only way you're going to make it is by the sweet grace of God. And it is sufficient enough. I wonder if we really want that thorn removed. It might cost us the revelations and the visions of God. It might cost us the grace of God. And then verse number 9 said, He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. No man has ever known the power of God. outside the sufferings. The Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. We never really know the true power of God till we're willing to go through the thorns with God. Paul thought it so vital that three times he pleaded with God to remove it. Until God would say, Paul, know all that you've been telling the church about glorying and being lifted above measure. Now watch this. God was lifting Paul. He was lifting him. God was using him, had a purpose in Paul's life, and He was lifting Paul. And what was going to keep Paul in this lifting from taking glory upon himself? It had to be a thorn. Can I say to this church, I've been your missionary since you were in the house. I believe I was your first missionary. And if I would love to say to you tonight and commend you, I know there's fights and battles, but I want to say something to this church that if you've achieved anything, you've achieved this over the years. Oh, I know you're human. You have your days, your disagreements, and your fussing, and your doubts, and your aggravations. But Judy and I have never come here from the day we met in the house. One time when I sat in the back, Brother Ken, I thought he was going to shoot everybody. I've never come here that the presence of the Lord has not been evident in some way, whether it was in an individual, in the choir, in the preaching. The evidence of the Lord has been in this place. Most churches that come from where you were to where you're at today lose something in the process. But I've also watched the church and seen the heartaches and the pressures and the agonies and the grief. About the time you think you're on top of everything, something shoots again and some burden falls your way. Because as long as God keeps doing this, you better pray for your preacher. You better pray one for another. For as God lifts you, you must lift Him, lest ye be lifted above measure. And like so many, fall and fail Him. Do we really want the thorn removed? Or do we gather every time there's a great battle railed on the church and the people here and say, Lord, we take pleasure. I'll close with this. Have you ever thought about this? The sons of God came one day in the presence of the Lord, and Satan was there also. And the Lord said, Satan, what are you doing? He said, I walk about to and fro. And he's wanting to accuse someone. And God said, devil, Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And every day that old devil goes before God and accuses his church and his saints. And it is a pleasure and a privilege when God says, have you considered Liberty Baptist? And God sticks the thorn because He doesn't believe you'll lift yourself above measure. Paul said, I can't glory but in my infirmities. For you brag on your choir, for you brag on the preaching, for you brag on the giving, Thank God He has so much confidence in you that He allows the infirmities to come your way. He can remove the thorn, but so much the power of God leave. So much the presence of God must go in the vision. And the vision of the church ceases, and sinners no longer are reached. Do we want the thorn removed? Stand with me. Let's pray together tonight.